Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Hey, everyone, John Hansen here, and we're just minutes away from Blackhawks hockey. We've got it for you at the top of the hour, as always. Okay, a lot of stories recently about student loans. When is student loans not in the news? But really, recently, we've had some important stories, and here to break those down, Ray Kaplan. You know her, you love her, and you do such great work at financialrelief.com. Ray, thanks for hopping on with us here today.
Absolutely. Anytime. Happy to be here with you.
Do you get that a lot when people hear or see any story about college loans? Their brain just goes Ray Kaplan.
Yes, I do. I get a ton of text messages and emails, and I'm happy about it. That's okay, because it's been a long time working to be the kind of student loan expert. So I'm happy about that.
Well, it's like czar. I don't know. I like that title for you, Ray. I don't know. We'll workshop that off after the air, after we get off the air. Let's talk about a big settlement that was announced on Thursday with Navient. Walk us through this one.
Right. So there were about 39 states' attorneys general suing Navient, which is one of the nation's biggest student loan servicers. And basically, the lawsuit claimed that Navient engaged in unfair and deceptive practices by steering borrowers into forbearances. And then what happens is that their loan balances really started to grow, and that they didn't advise them appropriately about different income-based repayment plans or different options that they had available to them. And this is something I tell my clients all the time. You can't rely on what the servicers tell you, because I've been on conference calls with my clients and the servicer where the servicer will say some crazy things that are just not accurate. So this lawsuit really, I think, was to address this issue. And they recently reached a huge settlement. Now, Navient did not admit any guilt or any wrongdoing.
Shocker.
But it's a $1.7 billion in private student loan cancellation for borrowers who attended for-profit institutions like ITT Tech and certain art institutes. They'll also pay $95 million in restitution payments to about 350,000 federal student loan borrowers who are placed in certain types of long-term forbearances. That's only going to amount to about $260 per borrower. And then they're also going to be required to improve communications with borrowers about public sector loan forgiveness, and all that kind of stuff. But it also is going to mean that about 66,000 borrowers who had private student loans with Navient, I believe that were originated between 2002 and 2010, the ones which started out as Sallie Mae and then were transferred to Navient, some of those loans, if they were in default, will be forgiven. So if you are one of those people who had private student loans that started out with Sallie Mae, that were transferred to Navient, and that were in default, this might apply to you, and those loans might be forgiven.
Do you have to do the legwork yourself? Are they going to reach out to you and let you know? Or are you going to have to go to a website or something to see if your name is on those lists?
That remains to be seen. I think that all of that is going to come out pretty soon. Navient, there's another kind of subsidiary of Navient called Aidvantage. So Aidvantage, if your loans are being serviced by Navient, it might be switched to Aidvantage, which is a subsidiary of Navient.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And so
it's just like mortgages, right? They get sold so many times. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I'm sure it's somewhere on a sheet of paper somewhere, which bank now I pay the check to, because it's all done automatically. And really, if you have a private student loan, it would be worth it to at least just check if anywhere in that chain of custody of that loan, Navient's in part of it.
Absolutely. And so if you had loans that were Sallie Mae and that were transferred to Navient, and you think they were dispersed between 2002 and 2010, you know, you can also call up Navient and ask them for a copy of the contract. A lot of people don't know, you know, they don't remember, but you can call them and get a copy of the contract, take a look at what you signed on for, when the loans were dispersed, et cetera, and then ask them if you're a part of this settlement. So they have a duty they have to tell you.
All right. Well, that is good news. Do you feel like this, I mean, is this the biggest settlement of this sort of scale that we've seen? Are there more down the horizon? Does this embolden people to sue?
I think so. This is a big one. And this was really brought, it had a lot of teeth because it was brought by different states joining. I remember reading about it back in 2017, and it was California and a few other states, maybe about four states. And then Lisa Madigan joined, and then, you know, it was 39 states joined in this lawsuit. So we knew that something big was going to come of it. So yeah, this is big news though.
All right. Well, that's good. That's one story down. Let's talk about one that came out a little bit earlier in the week, but it does impact Northwestern University, part of a, quote, cartel of elite universities. Not my words. It was the words in the lawsuit. What's going on with people suing in terms of admissions?
So this is a really interesting case because when I counsel my clients on, we do a lot of pre-debt planning, you know, how to plan for if your child or children are going to college, what it's going to cost and how to plan for this if you don't have all the money saved. And a lot of these colleges are between $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 per year. So basically, what we would tell people, because they would say, well, how do we know if they're going to qualify for financial aid? And we would have to tell them, we really don't know, because the formula that the schools are applying to the information that you put in your FAFSA application and how they apply a formula, it's all proprietary. They don't have to tell us, well, this is how we come up with it, whether or not your kid is going to get, you know, financial aid. So we would basically just assume that they would need most of the tuition in terms of federal student loans and then calculate on that basis. Well, this lawsuit is interesting because we might be able to find out that information that was previously a mystery through discovery. It might come out because college graduates are suing 16 major universities for essentially colluding to limit the financial aid to undergrad students in violation of antitrust laws. So the plaintiffs are seeking to be approved as a class so that they can bring a class action. They're saying that this collusion has limited price competition and caused about 170,000 financial aid recipients to be overcharged by hundreds of millions of dollars over the last 20 years. And, you know, there is a lot of mystery in terms of on what basis are you approving financial aid or not allowing financial aid? And it makes the process kind of tricky for students going into college. And so now what they're saying in this lawsuit is that these 16 colleges have all been kind of colluding, which is really terrible because a lot of these colleges, they have billions of dollars, you know, in their,
their endowments.
Funds.
Yeah, for sure. Yes. So wait, I just want to make sure I understand. So they think they're saying that the formulas used or the processes in which they dole out financial aid, that one college is talking to another one so that they all have similar metrics so that that isn't a competitive advantage for any of them, just like any other monopoly that we've heard of throughout history.
Correct. That's what they're alleging. And if they right. get this certified as a class action and it survives a motion to dismiss or a motion for summary judgment, then through discovery, we might be really finding out more about how these colleges have been making these determinations over the last, you know, 20 years about who's going to get financial aid and who is not, and whether or not they really were colluding to limit financial aid to undergrads, you know, who were in the most need of it.
So for someone listening that says, oh, I thought financial aid is just done based on income, maybe a few other factors. We really don't know exactly the formulas that certain colleges use to how they disperse this.
Right. It's proprietary. We have no right to actually get our hands on it.
All right. Especially, and I imagine because these are private universities that are named in this suit, right?
Correct.
Okay. That makes sense to me. All right. Ray Kaplan, you're so good at breaking this stuff down. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then I want to talk through some more student loan forgiveness. Every time I log on to Twitter, there's someone else screaming at someone that their student loan should be forgiven, right? I want to find out if any of that is really possible, what has happened so far, and what could be coming next. That's up next here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. 720 WGN, John Hansen here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Blackhawks coming on your way next here on WGN. We've been talking about student loans and a couple lawsuits somewhat related to that earlier with Ray Kaplan, but this is your bread and butter here, Ray Kaplan, financialrelief.com, where people can go 312-294-8989. I cannot advise people who have any questions about student loans or where to go, what to turn to, then calling that number and going to that website. I really mean that, Ray. You're so good at breaking this all down for people. You really are the czar of all student loans. Okay, everywhere I turn, it's people arguing about whether President Biden can, should, will forgive student loans. And then someone has a story saying, oh, no, he's already done a bunch. And some people saying, but not mine. Where are we in this world of loan relief? I know that's a real broad question, but just curious.
Sure. So there has been a lot going on in terms of the world of federal student loans. So the big problem really was that there's this statute. So there's a law that governs all things federal student loans. And part of it was to give people who were working in the public sector. So in Chicago, you know, most of the big hospital systems, Advocate, Amita, Northwestern, University of Chicago, police officers, public school teachers, all those guys, if they had federal student loans, they were supposed to get forgiveness of their loans after 10 years of payments. But the problem is that the servicers were kind of screwing up and not giving people accurate advice about how to qualify for that kind of loan forgiveness. So a lot of people who maybe should have been getting student loan forgiveness were not getting it. So what the Biden administration did was they said, okay, look, what we're going to do is for the next year, and this applies through October 31st of 2022, if you get your employment certification forms in and consolidate federally your student loans, then we will go back and give you credit for payments that previously you were turned down for, that basically where they told you, oh, these loans don't qualify or these payments don't qualify, so you don't get public sector loan forgiveness.
So they'll go back in time and fix it.
Yes, exactly. So there, we just had a client who had $170,000 of her loans forgiven under this PSLF waiver. There's a process to do it properly so that you get your loans forgiven, and it's a limited time opportunity. And I think that it's going to result in over maybe $2 billion of loans being forgiven. So it's going to be a lot of loan forgiveness. It's not that, you know, broad sweeping $10,000 off of everybody's loans, but it's really life-changing for a lot of people. We have one client with $170,000 forgiven, another client with $72,000 forgiven. So, I mean, or if you were, let's say, you know, the magic number is 120 months, well, now they'll go back and give you credit. So you might be at 110 months, whereas, you know, if this hadn't happened, you would be starting from zero. So you are that much closer to getting your loans forgiven. So it's very important for anybody who's working in the public sector or worked in the public sector. And we can, of course, help you unravel it. If you want to give us a call, we can help you go through it, because it is kind of a confusing process.
Do they give you a check? Like, how does that work?
So they will give you forgiveness of the balance. And if you have overpaid, because we have a lot of clients who are getting big refunds as right. well. So they'll refund the money into your account. Also, if you've been making payments during this COVID CARES Act forbearance and not realizing that the loans are supposed to be in forbearance, then all that money is supposed to be refunded to you and you still get loan forgiveness. So there's a lot of forgiveness out there. I think that they're not doing a great job publicizing it or making enough people aware of it. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. If people's ears perked up either at that $170,000 example or the big number that you listed off, remind people again, who are you looking to maybe reach out to you? If there's a few quick facts that'll help those people that are interested go, oh, wait, that is me or that is someone I know.
Okay. If you have federal student loans and if you worked in the public sector, basically any time from October 2007 forward, and if you were employed in the public sector for 120 months. So that's a really good starting point, because then we can go back and do an audit and see how many of those payments we can get to count under this PSLF waiver. The other thing to remember is that it's only, we have to apply before October 31st, 2022. If we apply November 1st, 2022, we're out of luck. So it's only up to October 31st. So it's very important not to miss it.
That's like the worst Halloween ever if you miss out on that. Okay. So, and public sector, you know, I think a lot of people has an idea what that means, but sometimes it's broader than people think.
Yes. I mean, if you work in a cafeteria at Northwestern Memorial Hospital, you qualify for public sector loan forgiveness. If you're a nurse at one of those hospital systems I mentioned before, or a public school teacher or a janitor at a public school, or a nurse or a fireman or a police officer, all those are considered public sector employment.
Okay, I've got that down. So, Ray, if they want to reach out to you, financialrelief.com is the best place to get started?
Yes, or give us a call at 312-294-8989.
Yeah, that is great. I'm going to read it one more time for people because I know people are scrambling for their pens and pencils. 312-294-8989. And that's Kaplan, Ray Kaplan. I just love your slogan. There's light ahead, because you really are giving people sometimes their life back in a way, right?
Yeah, I love what I do because it's so nice to see the relief that comes over people, because that is kind of life-changing. If you previously had a $1,000 a month loan payment and we can just get rid of it for you, I mean, it really is. It's so nice.
That's great. Ray, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you.
And that'll do it for Let's Get Legal here on 720 WGN. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Really appreciate that. Of course, we got Blackhawks hockey coming up next. And next Saturday, looking ahead, obviously tonight we were on at a different time, 5 to 7, because of Northwestern earlier. Next week there is a Blackhawks game, but it's later. I believe it's on the West Coast next Saturday. So an evening game at around 8 o'clock. And we're going to be on at our normal time, 3 to 5 p.m. So you can find us there for Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association.